Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. I'm excited to be in one of my favorite parts of the state, in Alpine, Texas, talking to Mayor Catherine Eves, who is taking on the challenge of Alpine. And Alpine is far west Texas.
Yes.
And comes with the challenges of being far west Texas. But it also is a beautiful part of the state that I really enjoy, home of Sol Ross University and gateway into Big Bend. And yes. So, Mayor Catherine Eves, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Justin. I really appreciate the invitation and you giving me the opportunity to share a little bit of what Alpine's all about and of our challenges and successes and opportunities.
Well, let's start with, how did you become mayor of Alpine?
That's a great question. I was a 25-year educator, science education, mostly high school. I'm also a professor, a dual credit professor, long distance education through Lone Star College in Houston.
Yeah.
Moved out here, wanted to get to know my neighbors, started joining organizations like the Lions Club, the Women's Club, Kiwanis, just to meet people. And I realized that we had a need, that a lot of the residents and citizens here were disengaged from their government, and they really didn't know how it worked, or they didn't even want to be involved. They were total disengagement. And right. Being a teacher, getting ready to retire from secondary education, I needed something to do. I needed a challenge and a way maybe to educate people and to get them involved. So I decided in 2022, after moving here full time in May of 2021, that I would run for mayor. That was an uphill challenge because I was new.
Right.
And I was running against somebody who was born and raised here. I knocked on just about every door in this city and they elected me. And so I have taken on this challenge wholeheartedly. I'm doing everything I can for the community I love and that I plan to retire in. We've become mostly a retirement community. We have a lot of retirees living out here now. And I just wanted to bring people in, get them involved in the government. And we've had quite a bit of success. I even had a class that I held at City Hall that people could come to on city government. City government 101 to educate them on how the city of Alpine runs.
Well, it's an important conversation. As I've talked to mayors across the state, there are so many people that don't understand how a city works. And notably, that the mayor is an unpaid role. It's a service role.
That's right.
Represent peers. And a lot of people, especially in the bigger cities, will say, oh, well, the mayor's in charge. And all. And no, the people are in charge. And the mayor is really facilitating that conversation.
And that's so exactly right.
I appreciate the civics education that you're giving out there, because you do have a proud group of residents that are fiercely independent.
Yes.
But you're seeing more retirees, like you mentioned, coming into that area, and there's a balance between those people coming in and the people that have been there a long time.
Exactly. There is a balance.
So let's talk about, you have a new city manager that's just started in Alpine, and that's growth for Alpine, I believe.
It is growth for Alpine. Henry Arredondo. He was the city manager for Del Rio and then most recently Dilley, Texas. So he has managed cities that are larger than Alpine and cities that are smaller than Alpine. He actually is an alumni of Sol Ross, so he's familiar with the area, and his wife has family out here. He majored mostly in finance, and that's exactly what we need. Out here, as Alpine continues to grow, our economy is mostly tourism based, so we depend a lot on the tourists. And as you said, we're the gateway to the Big Bend. About 600,000 to 700,000 people annually visit the park, and our main goal is to get them to stop into Alpine and to appreciate what we have here. A world-class museum with a map collection that some maps the Smithsonian doesn't even have, and we have scholars worldwide traveling to see some of our collection. And then also a nice little hike up to what we call the desk, which is a story that goes back many years to a couple of college students took the desk up there to have a serene place to study. So we do have a lot to offer here.
Notably a grocery store, because I want to remind those 600,000 or 700,000 people, when they're coming through, it is nice to stop in Alpine and get firewood.
Yes.
And the last chance at a real grocery store before you get down to much smaller scale down versions of a grocery store in the big city.
Exactly, we do. We have a Lowe's grocery store here. And then we also have a Whole Foods store called Blue Water. And it's on Highway 118 that people can also hit and visit on their way down to the park.
Well, and then Alpine is a major highway city as well. So you have a lot of traffic that runs through there. But that means you have services, police, fire, EMS, etc. There's a struggle when your EMS is in the way that it is. It's a company that's running it, a third party that runs that. It's a lot of windshield time on a call in Alpine, I imagine.
And that exactly
struggles with a third party economics.
Right. Yes, that's exactly right. In fact, our third party provider is Emergent Airlines or Emergent Ambulance. The problem with ground ambulance, especially in the state of Texas, is most of them lose money. They make their money in air. So if they're able to get the air helicopters and planes to transport patients, that's where they make up their money. Well, Emergent Airlines, we signed a contract with them 3 years ago, and unfortunately that expires in May, and they're not going to renew. And we now, we being the citizens of Northern Brewster County, including Alpine, we need to figure out what we're going to do as far as ground ambulance coverage. There's four possibilities. One of them I consider a non-possibility, but we offer it anyway in the town halls, is we could have nothing. There's nothing in the state legislature nor the federal legislature that says that we have to have ground ambulance coverage. The only thing cities and counties in the state of Texas have to provide is law enforcement. Police department for the city, sheriff's department for the county. But to me, that's not an option, especially since we have a lot of elderly residents. We're more of a retirement community. That's how our demographics are going. The other two options is we can do a third-party provider again, but a lot of people see that as just kicking the can down the road. In three more years, we're going to be in the same struggle. We cannot provide. We cannot promise a third-party provider air. It's negotiated by the hospital, and the hospital already has their contract for air. So we need somebody who can come in who will be successful doing ground ambulance, and it loses money, much like childcare and nursing homes and assisted living, unfortunately, in the state of Texas. So we could do that, and we're trying. We have gone out and have asked for bids, for people to provide us bids. Another option is to have the city and the county run it. It would be another branch of city and county government. We already have our hands full, and I don't see that as a viable option either. Regardless, we would have to increase our budget, so that would mean a tax raise, and there's certain caps on how much municipalities can raise their taxes without going for a vote. And then the last option, the fourth option, is to have an emergency services district where it's actually run by another entity, kind of like a hospital district. There's a board. They would hire the chief for the ESD. They would take care of getting the ambulances and all the materials. And so it's a different way of having transparency, having another entity run it, take it out of the hands of the politicians, if you so will. So that seems to be the most favorable from what I'm hearing out on the streets, talking to people who have attended our town halls. Once again, that's going to need to go out for a vote to taxpayers because they have to vote in an ESD.
Well, I'm excited to hear that you and the county judge in Brewster County are working together so well. to find a solution for this, because it does, it's not just a city problem at that point. It is a city and county, and those interlocal agreements are incredibly important. They get hard when you're not collaborating, but when you are collaborating, it becomes much more efficient for constituents.
Exactly, especially since we're a rural area. Alpine has approximately 6,000 residents. We are a rural, far west Texas area, and we need to lean on each other. That's one of the things that we're very proud of. Over the last 4 years, the city and the county have started really working together more. And we've also included our school district, the superintendent, and the university. So we're about partnerships. The first Monday of every month, we meet in a leadership huddle. Myself, the county judge, the city manager, the president of Sewell Ross, Alpine ISD superintendent, just to see what we can do to help each other. And so the county judge and myself have been working together. In fact, they just recently helped us pave a very large stretch of road out in a subdivision that has a small number of homes that we've struggled to pave. They sent materials, equipment, and manpower, and we provided the same. And together, we were able to accomplish that. And with the school district, they received a grant in which they could rehabilitate a field. And so the city has a field that the girls used to play softball on. And we're working together with the interlocal agreement. They're using their funds to rehab the field, to add shading to the bleachers, increase the bleachers. And so these partnerships are incredibly valuable. And so we're a team. And with the EMS, we're a team. So we meet together and we work on these things.
It's great to hear. And having that consistent meeting in place, when I've seen it done well, that's what we see. They're meeting often, they're meeting together in person, and really talking about all of these concerns, because they do have a big impact, whether it's economic impact, emergency services impact. It comes back to the real nature of civics and the civil roles that elected officials serve in office. And so it's great to see that working so well in that rural environment where it hasn't always been that case.
No, it hasn't. It's just, it's something recent. There was some animosity that predates my time here between the city and the county. So there was a lot of resistance to working together and doing these things. Some other things that we have done, for example, our incinerator, it's at our animal shelter. It's very important. We provide a service to the residents when their pets pass. We have a crematorium that we'll cremate their remains and then they can come pick them up. Well, the county didn't have access to the city crematorium, but recently we signed an interlocal agreement. They helped us purchase a larger machine to do what's needed to be done. And in return, we're letting county residents who don't live within the city of Alpine use those services as well.
Well, that's a great example, a different example, but a great example of counties and cities working together. Mm-hmm. But you're also bringing those tourists into Alpine. They're in Brewster County when they're in Alpine, and they're going to spend time in Brewster County while you're there. But Alpine directly, you're now a historic downtown district. You have a lot of positive things happening for the city of Alpine directly.
Yes. Yes, we do. So it's been about a year and a half that we've been working on creating a historic downtown district, and it was just recently approved. And now with that downtown district, it has to go through the Texas Historic Register, and then they will move it on to the National Park Service. But we've been approved. So now it's just a matter of waiting for the official stamp. And that we see is helping us with economic development. The county is also interested in economic development. We've considered hiring, because we don't have an economic development person at this time, hiring a coordinator together, because we could, when we pool funds, we can increase the salary and hopefully attract a dynamic individual who's highly qualified to help us bring in more tourists Right now, astrological tourists are one of the biggest and most growing field. There are a lot of tourists heading down to the park because of the dark skies.
Right.
We are part of the largest dark sky reserve in the world, and we want to capitalize on that. We worked together, a joint county commissioners meeting with a joint city council meeting, to rebrand. And we are the dark sky capital, if not of the world, definitely of Texas. So that's right. Going to be our new brand, the dark sky capital of Texas. And with that, at the city, we're working on a new logo to embody what this means to attract more of those tourists. We have the McDonald Observatory to the north of us where people can attend star parties. It's a very exciting time. We're experiencing a lot of growth in businesses. We've had new businesses pop up, new restaurants. We've had also nurseries pop up for plants and clothing stores. So we're very excited. We're ready to get the tourists here, spend some time. Amtrak stops here, and we want the people to be able to come off of the train and walk around the downtown area, visit the antique stores and the different tourist shops that we have. It's a very exciting time. We also hired a rec coordinator to our baseball field and our major park here, Coconut Park, yep. has also been designated as historic. The stadium, anybody who has the opportunity to come to Alpine should stop and visit the stadium. And so we have a rec coordinator to help us improve our recreation opportunities here.
It really is a fun stadium. And then you see the 06 brand all over it. And it draws a lot of questions if you're not from the region and know what that means. But
right.
if you're someone that wants to discover it, that's a great place to start when you're coming into Alpine.
Exactly, it is.
Now, you host a show as well.
I do. Yes, it's not visual. It's all okay. on the radio, and then it's on Spotify and Apple. But it's called Small Town Big Stories. Let me get this straight. Small Town Big Stories. And I've interviewed close to 100. We've had about 80 episodes air so far. And this stemmed from when I decided to run for mayor and I started going door to door, and I met a lot of very interesting people. And a lot of them have pioneer roots here in Alpine. They've had family that was here in the 1880s before we were called Alpine. Some as far back as when we were called Osborne, and that was before Murphyville. Many people know about Murphyville, but at first we were Osborne. And I wanted their stories to get out. So the interviews are about 20 to 30 minutes, and we air them on the radio. They just tell us basically their past. They're as far back as they want to go, their present, what they're currently doing, and then what they hope for the future of Alpine. Because we need ideas. How do we reach a goal of being even better than we are now? And more ideas we can get and ways to meet those goals, the better. And so that's a little bit about my story, my show. It's a lot of fun to do. I don't have specific interview questions that I ask them. I just tell them, okay, start with the past and tell us whatever you want to tell us and move on to the future.
So Small Town Big Stories on Spotify. Do you have a website?
No website, but it's on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts. And anybody who's a Facebook user, I put it on the Alpine Facebook pages, such as Alpine General Knowledge, Alpine Texas, and then for the residents here, they can get it off my page or wherever.
Yeah, well, what a gift, though. It does take a lot of effort to do that. But those are similar to where I started the Building Texas show, is the stories that aren't being told. And
yes.
the stories that don't make the paper or they're long forgotten.
Yes.
But if we can capture some of these people that have been there since Osborne, right? Or been tied into the community since then. What a gift to have that recorded and captured, not only for them and their family, but for the residents of Far West Texas that have all been out there very in a pioneering fashion, even today.
Yes. Yes, yes. I feel very honored to do it. And we're going to send all of them also to the Soil Ross Historical Archives so that they'll be there. We envision maybe 100 years from now, somebody may be researching a particular individual that lived in Alpine, and they'll be able to go back and actually hear their stories.
What a beautiful gift to the community. And Soil Ross is a great university that I think a lot of Texans may hear of and say, where is that? But if you haven't been there, it's a beautiful campus as you come into Alpine from the east. And right. Really, an academic powerhouse there in West Texas.
Definitely. Yeah, our nursing program has really expanded, and that's important for a rural community. Medical care is one of the challenges that we face, attracting people, providers, nurses to this area. So the nursing program has been a direct pipeline. It can start with the high school CNA program, and then they move into Soil Ross and get their nursing degree. We also have a law enforcement academy there that has really grown. And of course, we have the wildlife management, since we are a rural area with a lot of ranches, and the rodeo. We yeah. consider ourselves the home of the rodeo here in Alpine. And so that's another big thing. But the campus is gorgeous. It is beautiful. Anybody who comes to Alpine, make sure you stop and go to the campus and tour it. And that's also where the Museum of the Big Bend is located that I was mentioning. And we have that world-class map collection there that is just awe-inspiring to see.
Well, as we wrap up, I really appreciate the time today and getting to know Alpine and some of the challenges and opportunities that it faces. But where would you send someone to find more information about Alpine or to plan their trip to Alpine?
So we have Visit Alpine. It's on Facebook. And then we also have a webpage, Visit Alpine Texas. There are other Alpines across the country, so make sure you've got Texas in there. Visit Alpine Texas. Stop into our visitor center when you come out. We have a lot of information there. We are a mural city. We have a lot of murals on many of our buildings, and we have a brochure with a walking tour for the murals. So there, or you know, just Google Alpine, you're going to find all kinds of positive things on Alpine and what there is to do here and the hikes that we have here, restaurants and stores, and yeah.
Well, I'll say it again just for the listener in the back to say, hey, if you're going to Big Bend, plan to stop at Alpine and get everything you need and spend
exactly.
a night too, because it's worth stopping and seeing everything that has historically built Alpine. But then Alpine's really emerging as a place to stop, a place to see as we go in the future.
It definitely is. You won't be disappointed.
Well, Mayor Eaves, thank you so much for spending time with us today and for everything you're doing for the people in Alpine.
Well, thank you, Justin. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us at the Building Texas Show. We're excited to share stories from across the state covering the future of work and what Texas is going to look like over the next 50 years. Please like and subscribe on YouTube.